Welcome to the Mike and Doug Show. I'm Doug. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Doug.
Hey, and don't forget me.
Special guest.
I had to jump in because this is going to be such an exciting show. Oh, my goodness. We have so many amazing things to talk about. Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I'm taking your thunder. Go ahead.
No, don't worry. I have plenty of thunder, but I was just laughing because it's truths and retruths. So on the new social network, Trump's new social network called Truth Social, you can send a truth, like a tweet, and then someone can send something back, and it's called a retruth. Well, I'm not sure I really like retruths.
Retruths, really?
Retruths, because this is kind of like what we were saying earlier. The truth isn't going to be allowed to be spoken there, because if you join it, you sign an agreement saying that you will not say bad things about Trump. And Trump owns this company. And they raised $800 million to get it off the ground, though no one knows whether they have a single employee who's going to run it, whether they have any hardware. They're using, supposedly, and you're going to tell us about that, Mastodon, a clone of something you can buy off the shelf, and it's a pathetic system. So you can tell us about whether or not there's actually going to be any security on Truth Social. And today, because we have Betsy Ross, Tyler with us, we're going to get some straight answers. So,
are we going to talk about Trump being the Antichrist? Are we going to go that far?
I want you to hit the nail on the head.
I'm just saying at the very beginning of this, for people who might be hearing us for the first time, we are huge Trump supporters. We supported him all throughout, even before 2016. We were pumping out memes and videos every day. We're doing work. We were just devastated to learn recently that Trump really threw us all under the bus. And I hope we get to talk about that later. But for right now, Mike and the Miners, you were down there. You looked at this new social platform, and what you found was horrible from the get-go. It bans who?
Depends on which platform you're talking about. Douglas mentioned the one that came up last week called Mastodon. And so our people looked into that. And then yesterday we started getting this mainstream media push that was saying that the platform was going to be something like, it was going to be Truth Forge or something like that. Or wasn't that right? Right Forge, Truth Forge or something? What was it?
That sounds right.
Right,
it was
Forge.
Right Forge.
Okay,
and what I was talking Forge. About is from your first round of research, you found that this social network site that Trump and others say that's really not Trump, it's Kushner and all the Zionists behind him. And that is my opinion, and certainly not necessarily Douglas's and Michael's, but that Gab is blocked and Brighteon is pretty that's well true. Harnessed. So from the very beginning, folks, understand that your big savior, Donald Trump, creates a social network site that is going to bar the most amazing conversations that we're having on Gab at this time.
Okay, so I am not ready to draw conclusions, but we are looking at the facts, and the facts are puzzling. And with Mastodon, that tracks back to a Japanese company that has been in existence since, I think, 2007. And it is a very odd company. It's hard to find information about them. But when we looked at all the principles of that company, we saw all the usual characters that all tracks back in that case to Vanguard, to JP Morgan, to who's the other one? JP Morgan, Vanguard, and I've lost it on that one. But anyway, so there's so little information about that company out there that that raises a red flag. How can you use a company like that to all of a sudden go public with hundreds of millions of users in the U.S. and had to have a company that's headquartered in Japan that's beyond the reach of U.S. law? And then yesterday, we started getting these links to this other company called TruthForge. Now, anybody in software has heard of a company called, oh man, I just lost it again, Forge.
It's called Write Forge.
Right.
The reason that you, the
Source
most brilliant,
Forge, that's what I'm thinking.
No, you're a brilliant person, but your brilliance can't see the lie. The lie is it's not Write Forge. It's a forgery for sure. And yeah. It's not a friend of the right, and it's not right, and it's not truth. So that's
so you said it's Write Forge?
I'm saying it is forgery. It is a scam. When I went to the site for the first time, I said, oh, okay, well, let's check this out. Oh, you can, oh, everything about it says it's a trap.
Right.
They want, if you're a Trump supporter, they want your information. Douglas, explain how Donald Trump will make a killing off of this thing.
Okay, well, let me finish the quick analysis on Write Forge. And we look at this site, and first of all, it's got all the telltale signs of a globalist operation. It's very slick. And so you start digging down into the legal work and the especially the privacy policy and the other policies, written policies of that company. And you see language that's even worse than what we normally see on Facebook and Google and all the rest, specifically related to intellectual property. Because in those cases, they've had lingo that said, you own all the intellectual property that you put up on our site. Paragraph, that's sentence one. Sentence two says, you agree to give up all your rights to that property if you use any of it on our platform. So the way it's formatted, normally you see the first sentence, you say, okay, well, that's normal. So you don't read the rest. And that's the game that's been played. This one's even worse because this one's got a good faith clause in it that basically says, we will respect your privacy, we will do this, we will do that, all the usual lingo. And then it says, but if the exceptions to this protection of your privacy includes a good faith clause, which says, if we in good faith believe that something you're doing is unhelpful to us or harmful to us, we can take action and we can use your personal information any way we want. So what they've done is they've taken their entire agreement and thrown it away because they said they can override anything. And this is so classical of these scoundrel attorneys that are just running roughshod over everything that we've all held dear with the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights. So I don't think you need to know any more than that when you go to that user license. And oh, by the way, this company is tied at the hip with Google, and that's right in their agreements. So when you see that, you don't really need to know more. This is a honey trap. This is a psyop. And anyone who values their personal privacy and their intellectual property should stay completely away from it.
I'd like to know what happened to the over 6,000 affidavits that were filled out by the people who had been kicked off of the internet, demonetized, stalked, accused of all kinds of things. So those 6,000 people went to Trump when he was the president, and they turned in their affidavits and gave all the evidence. He said he was going to create a lawsuit. He was kicked off of the three major social network sites, and yet he did nothing. And now we're supposed to believe that this is the solution? Well, this solution looks like any late to the game copycat venture capitalist social networking company. Trump
right.
himself merged with Digital World Acquisition Corp, and they are basically doing the offering of the IPO. They raised over $800 million. And so therefore, the fake auditors and assessors and the venture capitalists will come along and say, oh, well, then the ceiling on this is going to be billions, I think $26 billion or something. You know, they're saying that's what it's going to go to. So it's a complete hype. Before he's probably hired a single person, he's simply going to use something right off the shelf. There's going to be no security.
Yeah, this platform's been around a long time. There's no way that you could do the kinds of services they're talking about on their website unless this has been around a while.
So
it looks like it just is Google platform rebranded.
Yeah, and it's not going to be what they say it is. Basically, what it is, it's like these advertisements that I get. I think you get them too. I haven't donated anything, so why do they send me 5 to 10 requests a day trying to get me to donate to Trump? Trump what? Is Trump running for office? What am I donating to?
Right.
What if he doesn't run for office? If he runs for office and he now has a social media platform that he only allows people to say nice things about him, or they'll kick them off, then he has to, then that's a donation to his election campaign. And he's the head of this company. And because of the venture capitalists and the way that they manipulate IPOs, he has a clause that within 6 months, he can cash out. So they did a little math. And the estimates are that after 6 months, even if with a mediocre turnout, because the company, when they merged with Trump, Digital World Acquisition Corp, went up 600% in 2 days.
Oh, by the way, that's the same game that all the people in Facebook played after the Facebook IPO. In fact, some of those insiders were selling within 3 days of the initial public offering, and others had to wait a little bit longer. So maybe they made a rule that Trump had to wait 6 months. But yeah, there's something very odd about this. I actually haven't seen any of those initial public offering documents yet. Those will be telling. First one is, who's the auditor? Do you know?
No, but they estimate he'll make $4 billion if he sold after just 6 months. So whether it's a success or whether it's not, it isn't what he said he was going to do. And now I'm getting very tired, and many people are very tired and frustrated with him because of the jab issue. And that is a huge issue. How are you going to have a truth social platform that you, if you start talking about the truth of that, it will automatically go against what the father of vaccines has been saying? I mean, this has disturbed people tremendously. You can't keep up your record as in a Ponzi scheme forever. And so now, as we stand back and look after some time, we can see that some of the things that he did when he was in office, promises that he made, you know, that he was going to appoint a special counsel to go after Hillary Clinton. No, he didn't. That he was going to have a Justice Department actually get to some justice. No, not one speck of justice done when he was in office. Or that he didn't have the right to control the Justice Department, or he doesn't have the right to control the Pentagon. And, you know, and
well, put up the Miller Act notice, and he didn't do anything.
And now he's going to basically be one of the people who will be violating your intellectual property.
Yeah, this platform does.
So there you have it. I mean, what is it that we can expect from this social platform? Nothing except the same kind of things. And if Betsy will address this, from the beginning, Trump had put out, and his assistant started Getter, G-E-T-T-R, right? And it just shows how easy it can be done for how little money. And then Parler was started, and that kind of started off with a big bang. It's supposed to be the home of conservatives where truth can be spoken, and now it's passé. And then Gab was started. And Gab has done a very wonderful job, I think. Now we get to see Facebook rebranding its name to Meta with some really stupid commercials by Mark of the Zucker Beast, showing that something is about to happen. We had said early on that Facebook would want to be broken up so it could have subsidiary groups so that they could make,
right,
you know, seven times as much money if they have seven subsidiaries. Well, just because they rebrand it doesn't mean that the old Facebook won't continue. We don't know.
No, it will. Idea. You can't rebrand something that large overnight. There are too many places where all of their documentation says Facebook. So that's a massive project and will destabilize the system. So we're not sure what this game is, but if it's consistent with what we've seen these globalists do ever since for the last 120, 130 years, is whenever they start getting exposed, they change the name. And they have three or four companies sitting in the wings four or five identities sitting in the wings, so they can just move them around, or even move jurisdictions, move companies. So what we probably will see that this company is going to start moving outside of the U.S. I haven't seen the document, so maybe that's even documented already.
Well,
we've been looking at W.T. Stead and Cecil Rhodes the last few days.
Which has relevance to our time. If we awaken now and look at the past that we have been propagandized about, perhaps it can teach us some very good lessons about the way that that type of brainwashing is happening now.
Right.
But this company, a Digital World Acquisition Corporation, that is merged with Trump, what is it, Trump Media and Technology Group, I guess it's called. So they have merged for this IPO offering. Well, recently the SEC went after that corporation and closed them down from starting IPOs for, I forget, three or four or five other companies. They literally stopped them. So are we going to see the same kind of action here? Is this not going to really manifest?
Well, wait a second. Our experience is the SEC is a part of the Pilgrim Society. So whatever they're doing in the way of punishing anybody is somebody that's their enemy. Because what we've seen is if you're not their enemy, you're going to get every exemption you need. You're going to get every blind eye turned that you want to get turned. And you're going to get done whatever you want to do. So they're only punishing their enemies. And that's been our experience.
So, Betsy, what about this thing that Trump did from the desk of President Donald Trump?
Well, that was the early one that was pushed out as his social media platform. That came right after he left the White House and really abandoned his job, because I have seen no sign that he is doing anything himself or for the people to right the wrong of this election rigging, when everyone around the world knows some level of rigging happened. I mean, some people at the street level may think it was stuffed ballot boxes, but those of us, and there are many of us at the higher levels of information, realize that it was Mark Malik Brown, the Privy Council, and the Pilgrims running their OpTech software on Dominion, Smartmatic, ES&S, all of them, okay?
Right.
So what is there not to know here? And where's Donald Trump, that stable genius that we all got behind and rah-rah? Well, he's sidelined. And when he does come out, what does he do? He pushes a deadly biological weapon upon the American people. So you have to begin to ask, who is this man? And many people have now looked at Bible, the Revelations, prophecy, and they're beginning to see that he does fit the description of what we would called the Antichrist. As one of our AIMCATs pointed out, isn't it interesting? Now, if you been following our gab, you will know the depth of what that means, that he's the Antichrist, because we've been running Bob Breaker information. We ran the prophecy, remember that powerful sermon by Rob Skia, is it? He's since passed away, but it was so powerful about how the demons enter into the bodies of people who compromise themselves with these vaccinations and other things that so that you've lost your humanity. But then on top of that, Michael McKibben, you did an excellent article on Mammon that we pushed out, and people see now that, yes, this is a spiritual war we're fighting. We've long ago left the politics, and we're facing the demons of Mammon, the Antichrist, Ahriman, Sorath. So let's be clear. And people say that Obama is Ahriman, or the energy of Obama. You can pick that apart any way you like, folks. I don't care. And that Sorath is none other than George Soros. That energy is in George Soros. And then Trump. So in the Bible, Bob Breaker would point out, he says, of course, this can't happen until the Bride of Christ comes. And he calls the Bride of Christ the church. Well, you know, he is a good Bible student, but he doesn't think much outside of the meanings. That's his opinion. And we, having written the Gospel of Sophia, would say that, no, Sophia, the Bride of Christ, is here. And she is here. You don't see her physical body.
another perspective is that the Bride of Christ is the church.
I understand that's what he says, but I'm going to just take you further that if you can say that, well, that's one person's point of view, it's his opinion. I have a different opinion. And then if you go beyond that, when he talks about what has to happen then for the Antichrist to be here, and he says, you know, the wound to the head, and he has to be assassinated, killed, and comes to life again shortly thereafter. Well, I've got another group of internet commenters who are noticing that the change in Trump seemed to happen right when he came back from Bethesda with the COVID. That was October 5th, 2020. And that his whole outlook on this began to change. We thought he was going to come in and put an end to this propaganda information war. He didn't. He endorsed the vaccine. He says he's the father of the vaccine, and Operation Warp Speed, full steam ahead. Okay, so now he's off the field. He won't stand up for the rigged elections. I mean, he is the pussy. I'm sorry, but he is. Where did he go? He just left. And so what folks are saying, he's setting this whole thing up so that he can come and be the savior. And when you look at that, they have no choice. Kamala Harris is an illegal alien. She cannot hold office, at least for birthright issues. And then they got to get rid of Joe. So Trump is going to wind up in office because the election rigging is not going away. So the globals will have to handle him while he sits in the Oval Office. But this is a perfect opportunity for during that trip at Bethesda, who knows what happens in hospitals today because they're far gone from actually healing and helping people. Did they do something to Trump where this left his physical body and spirit and soul open for the forces of the Antichrist to come in and inhabit that the vehicle that we know is Donald Trump for the next 3.5 years? So I'm just saying it's a big thought, but something we should consider.
Well, when he went to the hospital, you kind of wonder if he said he was treated there. And of course, they didn't have the shots yet. But what did they give him? They have in the military the vaccines for coronaviruses.
But he was promoting remdesivir.
And remdesivir. So my question is whether it was those shots or the two shots he got recently that he said that he got. Has he actually basically have prion illness, and he's got spongiform encephalitis? Does he have mad cow disease, which has Alzheimer type symptoms? Because anybody who keeps talking about that the shots are a good thing is not paying any attention to the very thing that he supposedly is getting into, which is the social media network. In the social media network, you can't spend 1 minute there without being flooded with enough indictable evidence to show you what is going on. So how is it that Trump hasn't looked into who Anthony Fauci is? How is it that he hasn't noticed that the actions against him just happened to coincide with him asking questions and then hydroxychloroquine was basically practically banned? Or ivermectin, when he brought up things, they actually were then used against the very people who needed those treatments. And so you have to ask a lot of questions now because too many of them are unanswered. And I don't know what to make of it, but I'm going to assume that he has spongiform encephalitis and that he has too many graphene oxide particles and iron oxide particles in his brain.
Well, one of the things that caused me pause this morning is when we saw this press release come out, I think the link I got was from Axios. And of course, that it's Axios, so it's a leftist rag. And then went on the internet and started looking at all the other announcements, and all of the left-wing media was announcing this new platform, TruthForge, I believe that's the name of it. And whenever you see that kind of locks.
Right Forge. I know it's hard because it's a lie, and your consciousness knows it's a lie.
Right. So Right Forge, and I go, what's this? It's like SourceForge, which is a software company, and yet it's Right Forge, and then it's got all of the buzzwords you could ever possibly want to, in theory, attract patriots, conservatives, to pay attention to what it is they're promising. And they talk about every possible trigger word to get you to buy into the idea of signing up for this. But then you start looking at the details. And I encourage everyone to go look at their legal documents that they, because there's a lot of telltale information there. And you can see all the wiggle language that these crooked attorneys put in these documents to make sure their client can never possibly violate any law that they can't get out of. And so when you see that, you wonder what's going on. And my thought is this, technology is, there's a lot of it. And so therefore Trump can't possibly know the details of the technology. So one possibility is he keeps delegating the development of these platforms to third persons, and probably a lot of these technology guys are infiltrated. So therefore he's continually getting bad information and bad recommendations, and he's just going along with it as a boss who has to make a decision after a while on which way to do it. But if they're all lying to him, or the key group is lying to him, then he can never get to a good decision. And it's clear from what we know, he's not talking to any of the people that we know. And if he doesn't know by now that we invented social networking, then he is not paying attention, or it's actively being kept from him, or third, he does know and he's ignoring it because he doesn't care about intellectual property either.
He says he's a stable genius. He's a very smart guy. Look at all the billions he's made. And he doesn't see this for the truth?
Well, it's not going to be truth social. It's going to be Trump truth social. And all I can say is give the simplest example. I just went on the internet to put in, show me the United Nations adverse reaction count that have been voluntarily turned into the United Nations of people who have died across the world because of the United Nations World Health Organization's protocols of how to deal with this supposed pandemic. That's 2 million.
Wow.
And there's 2 million people who are dead, voluntarily told to the UN group. Then here in America, the CDC's VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Event Registry System, again, a volunteer system, usually gets between 1 to 10% of the reality that's going on. People have to, doctors and hospitals can't report to the system. Individuals have to call in and say, you know, to supposedly help the CDC with the P in their name, which they never ever deal with, which is called prevention, the Center for Disease Control. You see, they want to control disease. They don't want the P to be on the end of it, prevention. And so they called to warn them for prevention's sake that, oh my gosh, I got this vaccine and I died, and my parent died, my child died, someone died. And so they call it in. And right here in America, we already have over 100,000 of those.
So how many died before they took the swine flu vaccine off the market?
27.
How many?
27.
27. That was enough then. Now right. We've got over a million, and it's not enough?
And that's, you know, there's also then the adverse reactions as well as the deaths in America. And then it's about four times that amount in Europe. So if you add that up, the UN is probably the only count that I've seen them do during this whole pandemic that may be true, that 2 million people have died directly attributable immediately afterwards getting one of these four different types of vaccines.
So do you honestly believe that they know how to present honest data anymore? The UN, I don't think they ever have done that.
No.
So whatever we're seeing has got to be a fraction of what is actually being reported, but they just couldn't report zero. So they had to pick a number.
Correct. And because they know that people from different countries are calling this in and they're supposed to be doing a service.
Right.
Every now and then they accidentally do something that tells the truth, which is pretty rare for any organization connected to the United Nations. But right. Anyway, my point is that Trump's not doing any homework, but he's busy out creating an IPO that could get him $4 billion, even if it's a failure.
Okay, so let's just hypothesize that's not Trump doing that. That's a bunch of scumbag attorneys in Washington and New York who put together an IPO with scumbag accountants, and a scumbag underwriter. Who were the underwriters? Do you know who the underwriters were on that?
No, I don't.
Okay, I haven't looked. So consequently, that can all be done without Trump even being involved. So this is looking like a cookie cutter operation, cookie cutter Pilgrim Society operation, similar to what they did with Facebook, only they moved this one a lot faster and they didn't raise as much cash because they didn't have to pay off so many people as they did with Facebook, because Facebook had already been developed with Hillary Clinton money to rig elections since 2009. So they can move a lot faster. But anything you do in this space of technology, you can't move this overnight, especially if it's scaled. You've got to walk before you run. And so this bigness that's being pushed out there, I think it's to overwhelm people so that they don't know how to critique it. But the bottom line is, look at that legal agreement. They can steal anything that you put up there, folks. So don't put anything up there.
Well, it makes you wonder if the different layers up as we march up to the total the top of the apex of a pyramid with the Pilgrim Society up there, is that the various levels don't understand what's really going on, because there is a war on humanity and it is for the extermination of most people. It's written in stone. They want to get it down to 500 million. Well, does Mark Zuckerberg understand it? Did anybody send him the memo while he's busy creating this virtual reality living space where you'll own nothing and be happy? Just put your goggles on. But do they understand that? Why would people be spending so much money on all kinds of things or trying to prop up their businesses, right, if they don't see the bigger picture that, hey, you're going to be exterminated and that's what the vaccines are there. Well, and if they don't do it with the vaccines, if too many of you woke up and you understand what's going on, they're going to do it with the freeze out, you know, just like they did in Texas, shut down the electric grid, freeze you out. Then they're going to starve you out. Folks, they want to kill us. That is the big picture we have to see. And all the skirmishing in Congress with their trillions of dollars, and even this stuff with Mark and Trump, they're distractions.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, you know, remember back in the day when you were working at a company and you had to deal with the tech department, and you knew they were a bunch of geeks. And they were somewhat antisocial, not all of them, but some of them, a lot of them were a little bit antisocial, and a lot of them weren't too friendly. And it was really difficult to get good work out of these people. So you kind of put them off by themselves. And what I think we're seeing now is the revenge of the geeks. I think the revenge of the geeks who've had too much money for 20 or 30 years to play around with their twisted, undeveloped personalities, their characters, everything about them is odd. And that's what we're seeing now out in the marketplace in spades, because we're seeing the outgrowth of that geekdom gone wild. This is geekdom gone wild. And they've got enough money that they have been able to parlay that with the geeks that are attorneys and accountants and securities people, to create this culture that they're trying to push on the whole world. And by the way, they don't really care whether you live or not. They're amoral at best, I think. Well, and that's what we've noticed over time.
At the very top, you have the operation to exterminate everyone. At the level of the social media is to control everyone. And then the same thing with the World Economic Forum. So they're different agendas. One agenda takes you to transhumanism, okay, and control and tyranny, global tyranny. The other one just gets rid of everybody. Yeah.
Well, I was talking with a KPMG accountant auditor years ago. And he said, you know, I really don't like working with technology companies. And I said, why is that? Because he said, you're working with a lot of geeks. And since they have poor communication skills, they turn the knife slowly. They turn the knife in your back slowly. That's what we've got now. We've got geeks turning the knife slowly on humanity.
And that's why they make up funny little names. Like when you see this ad for Mark Zuckerberg, you see him and he looks like Data from Star Trek. And so you see Meta, So you're immediately going to think in your mind metadata.
Well, that's the, that's one of the foundations of our invention.
And that's
the, we determined how to do that.
Yeah, the geeks will think that's funny.
Oh yeah, that's clever because it's digging at Leader again. We stole your technology, and we're even going to use your names now. Now, metadata is a term that's been around a long time. That's not the point here, but we figured out how to use the concept of metadata in a scaled database environment. That was our innovation. Before that, data was flying all over the world, and you couldn't scale that. So one person couldn't see a million copies of a photo. But the way we developed the technology, you could use metadata to exchange the information around and then only view the file if you wanted to. So you weren't sending lots of copies of the files for people who didn't want to see them. And so, they can't be creative even making up a new name.
Oh, no. They call it, Truth Social. Follow the truth. Really? That sounds a lot like aim for truth. You couldn't come up with anything, and that's what you stuck with. Well, they are not aim for truth.
Isn't there another one that you said used the word forward in it?
Well, that was you that pointed out. Doesn't that look a lot, that forward work reminds you of Hillary Clinton's forward campaign? I said, yeah, there's a meme to be made. Hey, Tyler, are you listening? Combining the Hillary forward with this forward with truth. Yeah, is that it? That's it.
Yeah, I think that was it.
Yeah, but they're not creative.
No,
they're not that creative. And you mentioned the World Economic Forum. I didn't know this, but I do now. When you join, depending upon the size of your company, they'll charge you anywhere from $60,000 to $600,000 to become a member, one-time fee. And then each year that you attend to get a ticket, last time they met in person, face-to-face, it was $27,000 for the ticket for coming to their conference. Well, that's nothing but insider trading. And that's the kind of thing that happens with DARPA-sponsored Silicon Valley cardboard cutout punks.
Highland Group.
And that's John Hopkins' Exceptional Children's Group. I mean, they literally trained these people to be blanks, like Mark of the Zucker Beast. And
isn't that where Lady Gaga went to?
I think so.
Yes.
Yeah, so these elite clubs can't be stopped. They aren't that creative. And here they are having their insider trading meetings in the open, charging huge amounts of money as a prohibitive factor to make sure no one hears what they're talking about. And then they put out their propaganda, which says, this is what we're going to do. This is what the richest people in the world have all agreed to do. And we're all part of the club. And it's called insider trading. Well, when Trump did this, how did he get $800 million in investments? Well, every DARPA project gets infinite venture capital monies because they know they're going to have government projects. In other words, it's being really open for the government, but it is being owned by someone who can then fly under the false flag of corporate immunity. And so here you have Trump. $800 million, you know he didn't put up a dime of it himself. It's going to be his company, and he can turn around and even as a failure make $4 billion and maybe much more. But who gave him the money? And is this a DARPA project? And as Betsy said at the top of the show, don't trust it. It's the opposite of truth social. It's not going to be social, and it's not going to be the truth. And it's basically a trap. You're being pulled into a trap. Well, who is it that he's going to be selling that information to? That would be just the people.
Anybody.
Those are the anti-vaxxers. Those are going to be the people who will have already a room reserved at a FEMA camp. And so if you get onto this network that you state that you are MAGA, that you're supporting Trump, and that Trump supports the shot, what is that saying about you? That's a demographic that defines you in such a way that they can come to your front door.
By the way, that one of the end user license requirements is they could share your data if you've caused psychological distress to another person. I'm not kidding.
Well, it looked like to me that Mark the Zuckerberg's new Meta virtual reality is nothing more than a safe space for geeks. And, yeah, you know, and
basically gamers.
You're going to be able to weed out. They will weed out for you once they define who you are from that PsyOps. They will weed out anyone who might convince you to be otherwise than completely complacent with the government administrative's program. Mm-hmm. And so basically, it's just the very thing that we had predicted from the beginning, and now we get to see it takes the next step. And with Trump, I'm not sure where this step has taken you, but if it's the same direction of some of the other things he's been advising on, I would be very careful.
Well, I still hope not, but these facts are what they are. So we just have to see what he does.
Well, thanks for
words are cheap. Actions are king.
There you go.
And you know, the other comment I'll make about Revenge of the Geeks, I think that the other key point here is between the accountants, the attorneys, the bankers, and the lawyers, or I said lawyers, accountants, and underwriters, is you see a very amoral to immoral environment. And I think that's the overarching view of the long view of history, in that we're going back into the 1800s and seeing it's this people who have lost all sense of morality and have lost all sense of empathy for another human being. And when you give that group of people the power to create money, which they did in the Bank of England, and then they did again.
Okay, but my point, I'm going to stick with it, that it's more than just an information war anymore, because we've got that busted. We've taken the truth all the way back. When Mike does that historical research, that is to show the trail of the lies, the propaganda, right, and the deceit, that it was in our history. We don't know about it because we weren't taught that in our government schools, because we've been indoctrinated all of our lives. So the truth is there. It's just going to be a matter of how fast it's revealed and known to the people on the various levels, because not everybody is up to speed with us. And we're usually about 2 years ahead of the time. And so because of that track record, that's why I stand here and say, this is a spiritual war. It is a possibility that Donald Trump is not the Donald Trump that first emerged, that he is being used by demonic forces could be the Antichrist. We don't know. We're not going to really know until we have enough history behind us so we can see what it turned out to be. But folks, be on guard. If he tells you to drink the Kool-Aid, don't. If he tells you to walk off the cliff with him, don't. Beware of Donald Trump.